Cal and Bryn, thank you so much for putting so much thought into figuring out what to bring. I bet there were some fun conversations and maybe some negotiating, right? Having two people choose together is always an interesting thing. So yes, here it is, the Nylabone. I don't know if anybody ever had a dog that had one of these to chew on. This one is a rather newer one, isn't it? Because it doesn't have all those weird, sticky, rough spots yet. Yeah, you guys are fostering a couple of dogs, aren't you? What a neat thing to take a couple dogs who didn't have a place and to give them a place to call home. I appreciate that. So, I don't know if any of you ever had one of these in your home, but I certainly did. We had a little dog named Jack. I loved our dog Jack. Actually, our dog Jack and his own teething was a part of conversation in my house these last 2 weeks. See, I have a daughter who is 5 years old, who has no teeth in the front of her mouth right now. All four of her front teeth have fallen out in the last 4 weeks. So, like, it's funny to watch her, like, drink something. She just puts the straw right in the middle because there's nothing there. But the first two came out without much issue. The second one and third one, though, or third and fourth, she didn't want to have leave. You'd almost think there's a lot of change happening in our lives, and she doesn't want to see anything else change. Literally, the third tooth, all of a sudden, after weeks of, like, Gracie, it needs to come out. It's just hanging. All of a sudden, we're in the car and hear, it just fell out. Well, okay, hang on. Then it fell in the car seat, which is a whole separate issue. Yeah, you know. And then there was the fourth one, and it just stayed and stayed. It would, like, flop around, but she wouldn't let us take it out of her mouth. And so I was trying to figure out how to do this, and we talked about how it's a very normal thing. It's something we all do. You guys lost some teeth, haven't you? You know what I'm talking about? And I was trying to figure out a way to make this more personal for her, and I said, well, you remember Jack, our dog? And she's like, yes. I said, you know that Jack lost his teeth, too? What? I said, in fact, because we were overbearing dog parents, I still have them in his dog book. We do. There they are, those cute little teeth. Actually, they're very sharp, too. But there they are in the little book, and we talked about how the teeth fall out and the new ones come in, and that seemed to help a little bit. But all of this served as a reminder to me, and thinking about those dogs sitting there grinding on things, trying to work through it, that growth and change are not easy things. I used to use the phrase, oh yeah, I'm still cutting my teeth, until I watched my children cut teeth. You know what I mean? They start pushing. There is ripping. There is bleeding. This is not an easy or comfortable thing, is it? And yet I used to throw that phrase around, oh yeah, so-and-so's still cutting their teeth. Yikes. Growth and change are not easy things. And we find this in our scriptures quite often. In fact, there's a beautiful scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So the book of 1 Timothy is a letter. As our story holds, Paul, there's some conversation if the Paul actually wrote it, but a letter attributed to Paul is written to Timothy. Now, Timothy is a young, new pastor serving in a community of people who are used to seeing someone very different in that role, very old prophet-type people. And here's Timothy trying to bring the good news of Jesus to the world, and folks are not quite having it. So Paul writes him some advice. And in 4 Timothy, we hear these words written to this young learner. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given through prophecy and the laying upon of hands. Put these into practice and devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching and continue in these things. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So some interesting advice from Paul talking about things here. What I hear Paul talking about is change and growth are not easy. And not just for Timothy, who's in this whole new pastor thing. This scripture gets used a lot when we ordain new clergy, right? Like, here's a little bit of advice for you. But we also hear this scripture for any congregation seeking to bring a new word of hope into a world that doesn't always want to hear them. And I think this is especially applicable to our congregation in the way that you as Highlands United Methodist Church are seeking to share God's message of love and acceptance and justice and hope. For just as growth and change are not easy, God's messages aren't always for easy to hear, especially if they require us to change. Sometimes, if you will pardon the pun, we have to chew on them for a while. Right? It takes that time and that reflection and that work. And that's actually what Paul is writing about here. Paul is writing about what it looks like for you all to be God's people in a world that may not be ready or willing to hear the message God is putting forth. For you all are offering the world a very new reminder of a very ancient truth, God's love for all people, that justice requires things to change, that our world isn't where it's supposed to be. These are hard things to hear. And so sometimes we get pushback. But the scripture is very clear. Paul offers a few very concrete directions. It's not one of those nebulous, live a good life. This is some clear directions Paul offers. He says, first and foremost, I want you to set an example. That's what you got to do. You got to set an example. And then what I want you to do, I want you to spend time with the scripture. And once you've set an example and you've been spending the time with the scripture, I hope you will remember the gift. This is the invitation of our scripture this day. This is what we are invited to chew on as that process of bringing forth something new. So let's dig into these a little if we could. Example. He's very clear. I need you to live in all that you do. In fact, let me quote it. I don't have it written down here. Set an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. You know, when I meet with baptism families, this week it was a little bit different because, ladies, you are so much older. But often we baptize little kids, too. And when I have conversations with families about the infant in their arms that we're about to baptize, one of the things I always remind them is that by the time a child is 2 years old, 80% of what they have learned, they will have learned by mirroring. Right? They see us grab a spoon, they grab a spoon. They see us start walking around, they try to walk around. You've seen this a lot, haven't you? How many of yours and Carlos's mannerisms has Nora picked up in the last 2 years? I will not ask you to share them in front of everyone. But this is a thing, right? And it doesn't stop when we're two. It is so funny to, like, I'll be going through a conversation and I'll say something and they'll be like, well, who'd you pick that phrase up from? I'm like, what? She's like, that little phrase, you keep using it. And you had to pick it up somewhere, and it turns out one of my friends uses it, and now it's a part of my, like, we pick things up from people. And the reason I always talk about this with baptism, and the reason I invite all of us to think about it, is because we are making a commitment that we'll live our lives by Jesus, so our young people might see what it looks like to do so. Spoiler alert, it's not just for the young people. We all make a commitment to live like Jesus so that when any one of us forgets, we have plenty of people we can look around and see and be like, that's right. That's what this looks like. That's what forgiveness looks like. That's what justice looks like. That's what patience looks like. That's what joy looks like. These are the things we can see in one another's lives, and we are invited to live that example so others might see it. That we would live lives of love and faith. Really, what the scripture is asking us for is to live lives of integrity. And I don't just mean that in the you say you'll do it and you do it way. I mean in the way that our lives are actually held together and they're strong because we're living what we're invited to do. Now, we have that idea of the living the example. It's the very first thing we're supposed to do. But then there's another good word of advice from Paul. And as he says, listen, what I want you to do is dig into the scripture. I want you to read it. I want you to preach it. I want you to study it. God bless you. That's what we do here. I really want you to spend time with the scriptures. And this is a really good reminder for all of us that we are invited to have a relationship with the scripture. Literally something to chew on, right? To open the book, to look inside of it. Now, yes, it can be a very big and daunting book. And so I'm going to offer you a couple quick reminders. If you're like, I want to read the Bible, please don't start at the front and try to make your way all the way through it. This is not one single novel. This is a library. And when I send my kids to the library, I send them to the section with the books that are going to engage them. So if you want to pick this thing up and start reading, I invite you to open to the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of the Gospels. It's fantastic. It's also one of the oldest written accounts of Jesus' life, and it gets us a very beautiful picture. Or if you want something in the Hebrew Bible, yes, Genesis can be great. And feel free to skip over a chapter that's just a list of names. No one is going to judge you for that. If you're looking for an interesting practice, keep your Bible out. And if you don't have one, talk to me. We got extras. Open it to the Psalms and lay it somewhere in your house. And every day, read a new one. Some of them are incredibly short. There's a couple that are really long. And you might read it and be like, I don't get this whole enemies pursuing me thing. You know what? Let it be a metaphor. There are a lot of things in life that come after us, aren't there? You'll see yourself in these stories. Read it. Spend some time with it. And if I may say, you got a great person showing up. Last week I talked about what a church nerd I am. And I was chatting with your new pastor, Stephanie, my dear friend. She's like, Brad, I hope you don't mind. I'm not as big a church nerd as you are. Well, first off, no one's as big a church nerd as I am, Stephanie. But she goes, however, I am a Bible nerd. Will they be okay with that? And I was like, yes, they will. This is going to be great. You got a pastor coming who wants to talk to you about the scriptures, who wants to dig into them with you so that we can claim them and we can own them and we can use them as a way to do what we're invited to do as God's people. And that's listen for the words and the message. So do that. Hear and spend time with those scriptures. And then there's this beautiful closing. I need it again. Again, I'm going back to the book too, because that's what we're supposed to do. I love this. After putting all these things into practice and devoting to yourself and your living, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching and continue in these things. Wait, one line ahead. Sorry, I skipped ahead. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. I love this line. We are invited to remember as we seek to grow personally, as we seek to help the world grow, as we seek to bring something new into the world, as we seek to see something new in us, I invite you to remember, yeah, it's not easy. But hear the words of the scripture. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. This is a beautiful reminder. Who you are is a gift to the world. It's God's gift to the world in creating you to be who you are. And amidst all the things that might grow and change, amidst the discomfort, amidst the gnawing on things because we just can't handle it, and there's that weird in-between time where the old part's gone but the new part's not there and it's just uncomfortable and we're not quite sure, that is when we're invited to remember the gift. That something new is coming forth because God has placed it within us. And in allowing that newness to come forth, in allowing that newness, we are letting God's gift be made real in us for the world. It's something to chew on, isn't it? It really is. Amen.